Alice Onlin and Herwig Konings are founding partners of Security Token Group. All opinions expressed by them or guests on this podcast are solely their opinions and do not represent the views of Security Token Group or its subsidiaries. You should not take any opinion expressed on the show as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow any investment strategy. This podcast is for informational purposes only.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning into this week's episode of the Security Token Show. We're coming to you from our studio in sunny Miami, Florida. I'm your host, Herbert Konings, and I'm joined by my co-host and business partner, Kyle Sondland. Now, before we get started, I'm happy to share a word from our sponsor who helps make this show possible. This episode of the Security Token Show is brought to you by Relio Technology Limited, a blockchain-enabled issuer, fund manager, and technology provider focused on eliminating the barriers to invest in, trade, and leverage exclusive real estate, private equity, and other real-world assets through decentralized finance, DeFi. So Relio's mission is to merge private equity with blockchain technologies and provide much broader global access to institutional quality investment products that create long-term value and build wealth. The platform is driving adoption of security tokens both as an issuer and as a platform to enable other institutions to do the same. Relio has launched its own security token offering, backed by equity in the business, on top of a revenue share component to give investors exposure to the upside of the clients using the Relio platform. With three active funds currently in the pipeline, including a tokenized $250 million credit fund through a joint venture with Valentis Capital, the firm is poised to provide leading tokenization services for some of the largest funds in the industry. To learn more about Relio and the RSC token, check out their white paper and pitch deck today at relio.fund. That's relio.fund to learn more.
Thanks so much to Relio for sponsoring this episode. Definitely check that one out. Interesting component of having both equity and the revenue share component in the same asset. Love to see those strong token structures. And so for those of you who are new listeners, welcome to the Security Token Show. You should know that each week the show starts out by covering last week's industry news, followed by the newest security token offerings and a breakdown of the secondary market trading report. Then to finish off the show, we dive into our weekly main topic discussion, which this week is going over the regulation crowdfunding limit increases that were recently passed in the U.S. But of course, we can't get started without first doing our Company of the Week awards, where we award two companies for making the biggest moves in the industry last week. So without further ado, who is your pick this week, Herwig?
Well, my award has to go out to none other than Convergence Finance. So you may remember them from last week if you listened. They announced a $2 million financing round to get started. But now they've revealed more about their platform, which aims to be a Uniswap for securities and real-world assets. So if you're not familiar with Uniswap, it's the most popular decentralized cryptocurrency exchange, which means there's no central party like Coinbase operating it. They use an automated market maker protocol to function and create liquidity instead. So Kyle pointed out recently that Uniswap actually had also grown to record volumes, doing almost $40 billion in monthly trading volume. So a version that supports security tokens is massively needed, I think. Some have conformed onto Uniswap already, but certainly not designed for security tokens. And this article from last week is essentially a whole wiki on Convergence, including details about their wrapped security tokens model, their Convergence liquidity pools, and the DAO that will operate the decentralized exchange. So I'm rooting for this to succeed just because I find this a fascinating concept. And so for raising the capital to launch it, Convergence, you're my company of the week.
Fascinating. Love that model. I've certainly been following Uniswap and all of its mechanics for a while now, and have been waiting for this to move into the security token space, adding that extra layer of compliance on top of all the wonderful DeFi mechanics. Awesome work from Convergence. Congrats. They're flush with capital. Totally understand this pick and love to see it.
Let's see what happens. Now, Kyle, who do you pick?
So my company of the week comes from a cryptocurrency wallet called Exodus. And Exodus has officially applied to conduct a tokenized Reg A Plus security token offering. The firm is aiming to raise up to $75 million from retail U.S. investors. And Exodus has officially submitted their application and now waits on the comments from the SEC in order to move forward with the raise. So no security token actually has been approved to raise via a Reg A Plus to date. So Exodus aims to be a true trendsetter and trailblazer with this move. We've certainly seen more lax expectations from the regulators to date with respect to Reg A Plus approvals, as more of them have been approved in recent months, but in the traditional market specifically. We haven't yet seen that on the security token side, so I'm hopeful that this can be successful, but unfortunately I'm not yet holding my breath for that full approval, but I love what they're doing to push this thing forward. And that being said, if they get approved, it would be absolutely amazing for the industry, as you can certainly expect a whole host of others to follow suit. So cheers to Exodus for continuing to push the envelope and trailblazing in this space, and they win my company of the week this week.
Yeah, that's a great choice, Kyle. We have yet to see that happen. So I'm also rooting for that to happen. Hopefully the SEC, we all know when there's new and shiny things involved, they tend to take a slower approach. But that's a great choice, and congrats to Exodus for pioneering that.
You need somebody to bring it into the public eye and to force that conversation. And so at the very least, they're doing a great job in pushing the industry forward.
That's awesome. Well, let's get into the industry news now. But before I do, of course, I want you all to know, listening, that all the articles we cover on this show, they're sourced from stomarket.com/news. And they're also available for your reference in the about description of the podcast itself or on the Security Token Show Medium blog whenever you want to read the news we discuss for yourself. Moving into it, we don't have much, but we do have the infamous John McAfee to get us started here. McAfee, who is, you know, arguably one of the most notorious people in the world, right, Kyle, as you're laughing. He's been up on the run for years now, from Silicon Valley icon to murder conspiracy theories. You know, he's lived an eventful life, to say the least. Unfortunately for him, his luck seems to have run out now. During his time in Spain last October, Spanish authorities arrested him, and he has since been held in custody awaiting extradition to the U.S., of course. Now McAfee has been accused of breaking many different laws and indicted on many different accounts here, including tax evasion, ICO manipulation, and securities fraud, all big no-nos, of course, in the U.S. So it goes to show that there's no way around compliance. But as we have all witnessed, McAfee sometimes, you know, he's got tricks up his sleeve, so we'll see what happens. But it's interesting to see how this all plays out. You know, the real point to take away here is that you shouldn't promote scams and projects you don't know. And as individuals, you shouldn't just blindly trust what others promote, no matter who they are, especially as we get into token offerings here. So as we can see with McAfee, it is a jailable offense.
As a good reminder, this is not legal advice. None of this is investment advice. We are not going to go down the road of John McAfee.
Exactly. Now, moving into some of these company announcements, Securitize is partnering with Pacific Stock Transfer, PST for short, to modernize the transfer agent software market. So this is yet another strategic move by Securitize to increase, you know, their market share dominance. PST, they represent over 3,000 issuers, comprising over 750,000 shareholders worldwide. So it'll be exciting to see how these two companies leverage each other for the digital assets industry in the months to come as they start to integrate with each other. And for more company news, Vertalo, a U.S.-based digital issuance platform, has teamed up with North Capital to provide escrow services for digital and analog issuance clients. So this quote from their announcement sums it up best. The result of this partnership is that investors can quickly and confidently move from expressing interest in an offering through qualification, transaction, and settlement to issuance of securities and registration of the issuer's cap tables in a shorter amount of time than previously possible. So North Capital is one of the crowdfunding industry and security token industry's darling escrow service providers. So this, you know, partnership makes a lot of sense. You may also remember hearing about North Capital's ATS, their own secondary market for security tokens. They call it PPEX. So they received the green light from the SEC last year. It will be exciting to see Vertalo and PPEX working together to list live trading security tokens and, of course, support their services with each other. And now, moving into our thought leaders and resources section, we take a trip across the pond to Hong Kong, where the SEC equivalent, known as the SFC, is paving the way for regulations that will allow STOs as an alternative to traditional fundraising channels. So Hong Kong, being one of the leading financial hubs of Asia, will be one of the key leaders in this blockchain revolution, which will most definitely create a surge of digital assets and issuers utilizing this method across other Asian nations, because Hong Kong is a central hub, and now regulators are enabling that possibility in a new framework, which you can read all about in theasset.com. And Hong Kong's nearby neighbor and financial hub competitor, Singapore, has taken huge strides over the past few years, working diligently to create an ecosystem for digital assets that is regulated and protected and possibly the fastest growing in all of Asia. The SEC equivalent of Singapore, known as the MAS, has worked closely with all the major players in the space, including iStocks, which has traded, you know, live trading security tokens right now on their private blockchain. And it's not just iStocks in Singapore either, though. There are multiple others now building and listing assets, such as OneExchange, Exchange, the DB Exchange, and others. So it's crucial to have the regulatory authorities working alongside your financial companies innovating in the financial sector in order to have a solution that is regulated and efficient. Hats off to the Monetary Authority of Singapore for their forward thinking and their regulatory sandbox model to enable fintech providers to launch within it. And that's why there's such a hub. You can read all about it thanks to Kentaro Iwamoto's article. And we move into more some positive news here. We celebrate International Women's Day this week. And as such, we should highlight the VP of product for INX, Maya Noor, who has been with INX since it was founded 3 years ago. So Maya has been instrumental in the growth within the company and within the security token industry as a whole. And we at STG can't wait to see where she takes it all. Shai Datika, who's the president of INX, by the way, he has this to say, quote, Maya Noor has played an integral role in the growth of INX Limited. Her expertise in fintech is helping us to approach our ultimate goal of launching a platform which brings regulated digital asset opportunities to institutions and retail investors. So keep it up, Maya. And we are back with another content piece by Peter Gaffney for his weekly series Tokenize This, where he discusses a unique use case for security tokens. This week, he discussed the possibility of investing in musical artists before they become successful. So, for example, you could have invested in Post Malone, where you're just starting out on SoundCloud. And if you did, of course, you'd be very happy with that investment. Royalties, they're nothing new, but getting access to them and controlling them via security tokens is, and it's completely revolutionary for both investors and for artists. So I agree with Peter. Do you? Check it out on Medium. And finally, we have another article, this time on Quartz by Arroyo Wolverson, who breaks down the new expected SEC chairman's view on Bitcoin and digital assets. I'm talking about Gary Gensler, of course, who's set to become a new chair of the SEC under the Biden administration. And he has been vocal about regulating and differentiating the different types of cryptocurrency. So more specifically, he acknowledges that there is a key difference between utility tokens and security tokens, and even stated that security tokens are subject to the same regulatory requirements than traditional securities. So Gensler has this to say about the topic actually back at an MIT conference on blockchain in 2018, quote, if a coin offering is meant to give investors an ownership stake, then the company's tokens should be subject to the regulations of a security, end quote. So this isn't new, but when it comes to it from the top, it reinforces what we are working on here and what we're trying to achieve. So I think in all, this spells good news for security tokens. And that's the full rundown from last week's industry news for you savvy listeners. Kyle, are there any industry webinars coming up that they should be checking out?
Absolutely. Our first event coming up in March is the Security Token Summit. You may recognize the name as it's one of the largest and longest running security token events around the world, hosted by Alon Gorin and Joseph Holm out in Los Angeles. The Security Token Summit traditionally has a ton of amazing speakers and panelists, and this year is no exception. Featuring names such as SEC Commissioner and Crypto Mom Hester Pierce, U.S. Congressman Tom Emmer, and dozens of other executives from firms you've heard of, like Tokeny, Polymath, INX, Merge, Archax, and more. Herwig and I are actually speaking as well, so if you haven't gotten tired of hearing us talk after 84 episodes of the podcast, make sure to tune into our panels as well. The event is on March 25th, and it begins at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, so you can register using the link below.
It's completely free. Check it out and tune in, please.
Absolutely. Should be a lot of fun and a lot of great content, some great speakers. Definitely check it out. The other event we have this week is the FinTech Disrupt Digital Securities and Tokenization Summit. It's actually not this week, but it's coming up soon. You can learn everything you need to know about what is happening in the world of tokenization by joining this year's summit. You can hear from leading figures clearing the path for blockchain within the real estate sector, and you'll gain new perspectives on how established companies are renewing their business by introducing blockchain for tokenization. I was also asked to speak at this event and will be joined by T0 CEO Sam Norsalehi, Polymath founder Trevor Coverco, and DigiShare CEO Klaus Scanning in a panel discussion, as well as I think I get my own keynote as well, which should be a lot of fun. And that's going to be in May 19th and 20th. So that's coming up.
March 19th and 20th, I think.
I thought it was March, but it's actually May. So that's coming up. It's going to be in May. Check it out for more information. That's at fintechdisrupt.io. And that's all for the events and webinars that we had this week. Remember that you can submit any industry news and events at stomarket.com/news so we can cover it on the show. And transitioning into some new security token offerings announced this week, we kick off our list with T0, who announced this week that it has partnered with ROI Group, which is a global real estate developer, to digitize up to $50 million of preferred equity in a luxury hotel and residential development located in downtown Dubai on the Tezos blockchain. The security token will be issued through T0's smart contract platform and was assisted by consulting firm Megalodon. According to the press release issued by T0, they actually expect to issue these tokens in Q3 of 2021, and the development of the building itself is expected to be completed in Q4 of 2023. The tokens will trade on T0 once the mandatory lockup period has been completed, and it's great to see that there's another issuer in the pipeline for the firm. However, I just don't know if this is going to be enough to satiate investors that are hoping for some new assets to trade, as it seems like this one is not going to happen anytime soon since they're just kind of beginning that primary offering phase. So if we know anything about that, it does seem to take a little bit longer than some of these traditional issuers usually anticipate, but that doesn't factor in the lockup period as well for investors, so we're talking at least a year out. Nonetheless, it's a great sign for the future of the industry, and I'll certainly get you terms of the deal as soon as I can find them out. In other T0 news, they also announced a partnership with commercial real estate platform Earn.re to enable future real estate issuers to list on T0. This is a similar partnership announcement to the ones that we've seen in T0 over the past few weeks, as they're looking to increase their pipeline of deal flow by focusing on connecting with the issuance platforms that are creating security tokens. And to be honest, this is a significant improvement over their initial model, where the platform could only accept issuers that issue tokens directly through T0. So it's a great sign that the company continues to iterate as on its journey to list additional assets on its marketplace. And our final security token offering comes from the security token issuance platform Stobox, who is launching its own STO. The company is raising $1 million at a $10 million valuation and seeks to use that capital to accelerate their current revenue growth. According to the press release, the company has existing clients and is seeking to scale up operations while also putting a focus on decentralized securities trading. The raise has just begun, so you can check out more information at stobox.com. And moving into the market update, we have another huge shout out for Omar Faridi. Another week, another report from him on Crowdfund Insider. Thanks again. His coverage of the security token industry is prime. He wrote a full breakdown of our February market report, which is crucial for exposure for the security token industry, and his diligence and persistence in continually creating content is truly amazing. So thanks again, as always, Omar. Great work, and check out the article on Crowdfund Insider from Omar if you want to read more. And then moving into the market update, trading update, actually. As always, you know, our news and pricing data is sourced from stomarket.com. We have live updating pricing there. And the total STO market cap was flat this week at around $535 million, as almost the entire market was pretty much crushed this week, except for BCAP, which bounced and saved the entire market cap from falling. T0 and Overstock were both down 15% respectively, while BCAP's NAV has jumped sharply from around $7 a month ago to nearly $15 today, which correlated in a rise in the price. That being said, it's trading on Open Finance Network, which has pretty much no liquidity. So while the shares jumped from, I think it was $5 to $12, it was actually only one share that was bought at $12. So, I mean, take that for what you will. That being said, the NAV value is up over $16 a share right now, according to their most recent disclosure. So it does seem like the price is fairly following where the actual underlying asset is valued at. This is likely due to an increase in value from the Coinbase equity in its portfolio, which represents about 5% of their portfolio at the current valuations, which is probably undervalued. And the large portion of BTC that the company has on the balance sheet, I think it has about a third of its entire portfolio in Bitcoin. So that's why that portfolio is rising. That's why that stock is hot. And everybody's been talking about it. Realty assets have been falling as well in price, mostly, in my opinion, because of the liquidity pools that seemingly are transitioning to a different protocol, which is depressing the price. Remember, as we talked about, as the liquidity liquidity decreases in Uniswap trading pairs, so does the price. I have sent messages out to some of the connections to figure out where these assets are going to be listed in the future and where this liquidity is going, but for now, we're seeing that Uniswap V1 is tapering off. This does make sense as the second version of the protocol is live and the firm is actually preparing to launch Uniswap V3 coming out very soon, which would provide additional liquidity for these assets, so you would expect that they would transition or migrate into the newest protocols. But according to Remy Jacobson, the founder of Uniswap Realty, there will be a big announcement coming from the Realty assets on where they're going to be listing coming out next week. So he wouldn't give me any additional details aside from stay tuned for Tuesday is what he told me. So look out for next week's podcast episode and you're going to hear some updates from Realty.
Wow. That's another tumultuous week for the secondary markets, Kyle. But BCAP, BCAP does seem to properly be soaring, I guess, even though it's not in the trading volume we expect. But like you said, proof in the pudding about the Coinbase investment. And we'll definitely be curious about what Remy is going to be announcing next week for Realty on Tuesday. But thanks, as always, for breaking down that secondary market report.
Absolutely, Herwig. I love to do it. And let's move into our main topic this week, shall we? We've got some pretty exciting news to cover.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we actually started out the show back in 2019 with a mission to help the SEC modernize U.S. capital markets in episode one. And with your help, we were able to send an industry feedback letter, that was never, read or considered by the SEC. Or actually, so we thought. The following year, it was revealed that the SEC came out with a number of improvements, one of which we were directly cited for by the SEC as part of why they were encouraged to make the change. So we did it, folks. And of course, that change is an increase in the fundraising limit for regulation crowdfunding.
We do. Yeah, let's give some new listeners some more context here. It's really, really exciting stuff. We briefly discussed this in episode 69 of the show about the SEC changes under the Jay Clayton and Trump teams. But seeing as we've doubled in listeners since then, I think it's probably worth covering again in some detail about what's happening here. You see, back in 2012, under the Obama administration, Congress passed the JOBS Act anonymously, which then told the SEC to improve equity crowdfunding rules in the U.S. Three major things really happened out of that, where in 2013, they made it possible to market and advertise private investment opportunities, which really wasn't legal before that for over 80 years. You had to keep it within people that you knew. You couldn't just go out to the market and try to just let everybody know about it. Then the following year, specifically in 2015, they enabled for the first time ever the ability for retail investors to access private investments at scale. Before that, only 35 non-institutional investors like average Joes and Sallys were actually able to participate in private rounds, and they actually had to have a previous relationship with the entrepreneur.
Yeah, so when it came to private investing in capital markets there, before the JOBS Act, it was considered highly coveted, exclusive, and difficult to break into per the reasoning you just laid out, Kyle. So Shark Tank was just about the closest thing to public angel investing anyone could get their hands on. And of course, those episodes were aired months after the deals closed because of the very securities laws that you're just talking about. So, but all that changed at least, sort of. You see, the SEC was harshly criticized by the industry for making some of the new exemptions to raise money from anyone in the U.S. is considered dead on arrival because they were overburdened with investor protections. Regulation A+, which would let issuers raise up to $50 million, would require SEC approval to move forward with and saw its usage be as little as only 183 offerings raise a little over $2 billion over 5 years of activity. For context, private markets raise over $2 trillion every year, making this exemption literally basis points in usage. To make things worse, regulation crowdfunding, the one that was supposed to be the saving grace, also was considered broken because it limited entrepreneurs from raising up to $1 million originally, and over time up to $1,070,000 just to account for inflation.
And how much time and cost does it take to do a Reg CF campaign, Herwig?
Well, obviously that varies between issuer to issuer, but one thing was for sure, too expensive to justify all the effort and money that goes into a crowdfunding campaign. It almost became a glorified marketing tool than a meaningful way to raise capital, really.
And hopefully now that's changing. I mean, because what was our feedback to the SEC? I mean, among other things, we were saying the same thing. We had over 20 participants and leaders join us in saying to raise that limit for regulation crowdfunding.
And what number do we suggest raising it to?
From 1 million to 5 million.
Oh, yeah. And of course, what number did they change it to?
to 5 million, are we? And we know that because they actually cited us directly in their reasoning for making the change.
We're so happy that they made this change. It's simply phenomenal to see the industry and the SEC working with us to make a better and more efficient and fairer capital markets for all.
So we're talking about all this now, listeners, because next week on March 15th, the Ides of March, is the first day regulation crowdfunding portals and broker-dealers can start leveraging Reg CF for their offerings for up to that $5 million mark from anyone. And we think this is a really big deal, and I do think we need to share why we in the industry think it's a big deal, not just that we did it.
Oh, absolutely, Kyle. That's absolutely right. You know, let's just get back to our original point first, right? Cost of capital. If the crowdfunding portal takes 6% in fees, if the lawyers take another $50,000, and if the marketing costs, you know, another $100,000, and God knows what else is involved, then for a $5 million fundraise, you'd pay approximately $450,000 to raise $5 million, roughly 9% of the cost of capital, which, by the way, it's still fairly high. However, those numbers don't change, you know, much and only go up when it comes to the $1 million rule. So you'd be looking at about $210,000 in cost of capital under that. So that's about a 21% cost of capital. That's simply not feasible, right? So now you've got it down to single digits, and we still get all the other benefits of equity crowdfunding.
All right, so just like that, we fixed the cost of capital issue. It still seems fairly high compared to private fundraising. So why would you opt for this solution over the traditional options?
That one is easier and simpler to answer, Kyle. The benefits of crowdfunding means that you're also advertising your company and creating what many people call more powerful customers because they are also investors, meaning that they'll likely purchase more and refer the brand to others more. On top of that, leveraging the crowd means you may be able to get a fairer price and keep more control of the business. Compare it to an IPO versus a direct listing. In an IPO, the bankers, they control the price ultimately, similar to a bunch of VCs giving you a limited options to invest, especially when they collude. So with a direct listing, like with Spotify or with Coinbase, the company relies on its own marketing efforts and lists based on what it thinks it's worth. Similarly, a crowdfunding campaign doesn't give any individuals special preferences other than by potentially how much or how quickly they've invested. So entrepreneurs typically retain more rights and can achieve a better valuation from the retail and open markets through crowdfunding.
That makes total sense to me. I mean, that alone seems more valuable than a traditional offering. Despite slightly higher costs of capital, however, it is worth noting that there are some trade-offs. Unlike with Reg D and accredited investors, with regulation crowdfunding, you do need to have reviewed financials after a period of time, and you must follow some new disclosure requirements that you don't need to comply with under Reg D because of the fact that you're supporting retail investors. Furthermore, you now need to address a community of investors, which may require a new position in the company and a new corporate governance strategy, and as well as investor relations model to go with it.
Yeah, that's also very true, Kyle. These are new changes that may better suit the company, you know, for growth in the long run, but they do require addressing them now and can, you know, be added costs. But there are some good trade-offs too. You know, Reg D does require a full 1-year lockup period, whereas with Reg, you know, CF, I believe there's some more flexibility with transfership of owner, especially if there's a regulated marketplace involved, which could be a great thing for liquidity. You know, we are not securities attorneys, of course, so, you know, because we're not lawyers, definitely consult your own. Since very few Reg CF offer have been tokenized, there's really no case studies of them being liquid yet. So there is still potential and promise.
Well, Herwig, I know I am excited because everything you just told me means that more businesses will raise capital from the public, more businesses can finally seek capital from the public in the first place, and we may even see a drive in token markets thanks to the new and improved feasibility of this exemption. So to put it in perspective, against Regulation A+, Regulation crowdfunding has seen a little over $500 million raised through its exemption for less than 3,000 companies. So again, it's a drop in the bucket compared to the trillions that have been raised under Reg D. So let's hope that the raising limit from fivefold increases to a fivefold increase in usage as well, or potentially even more than that.
Yeah, I'm hoping for a lot more than that, Kyle, because hopefully now it's more attractive to use, which means more people will do it, and which means more people will see it work successfully, which will hopefully create an exponential growth cycle around it. So at the very least, we can probably expect a bunch of new offerings to be announced on the week of the 15th or maybe even that Monday. In particular, I'd keep an eye on the three biggest crowdfunding portals, WeFunder, StartEngine, and Republic. But with that, you know, I think that's all I have to say on this topic, Kyle. I'm pumped for Monday next week. March 15th is the day.
Totally, Herwig. I'm all out too. So, listeners, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please send in any questions or feedback to us on Twitter or LinkedIn, and be sure to get the latest trading data and news at stomarket.com. And if you're on Clubhouse, be sure to join us Thursday, 5 p.m. for the breakdown of the show, like we do every week. If not, I'll catch y'all next week on Tuesday for episode 85. And thanks again to our sponsors, Relio, for making this whole episode possible. They're doing a token offering right now. You can check that out at Relio.com. F-U-N-D, Relio.fund. Check it out now.
Thanks for listening. Catch y'all next week, and happy tokenizing.